Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. We're here on a weird day. It's actually Monday, May 30. I am your host, Yolanda, and I'm with my co-host, Elise.
Hello.
And yeah, so today we're on a Monday because of some technical difficulties yesterday. So we're going to be talking about X-Men Apocalypse. And I'm going to turn it over to Elise to give us a review of what we saw.
All right. So this is the ninth film to take place in the X-Men universe. Brian Singer is back as director. I think he did the first two, and then he did just this last one, Days of Future Past. So he's back. Simon Kinberg is back as the screenwriter. He also did Days of Future Past. And this story kind of picks up, if we want to think of the last three X-Men films as kind of like a trilogy. So First Class was in the 60s, Days of Future Past was in the 70s. This picks up in the early 80s. We have a young Storm, we have a young Cyclops, we have a young Jean Grey. And the big baddie is in Egypt. The film kind of opens, it sets up Oscar Isaac as Apocalypse. And he is reanimated in the 80s, and he decides that, you know what, this world is lost. I'm going to wreak some havoc. And he goes around recruiting his four henchmen. And, of course, it's up to Professor X and the rest of the mutants to kind of thwart his plans. And that's, I mean, in the simplest terms, that's basically what the movie is about.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a bunch... There's not a lot more going on.
Right. It's not that. There's not like a whole bunch of like political intrigue or.
Right.
You know.
Multiple timelines.
Multiples and timelines and subplots within subplots. Right. It's,
yeah.
It's pretty straightforward. And so, yeah. So that being said, let's talk for a minute about thoughts going in, which I think will kind of lead into this review, because for me, this is, and I've heard people say this also, that we've been seeing a lot of comic book films and we're kind of over it. And, you know, this is not that great. I mean, I think going into this, this is just, for me, just like every other X-Men film, I'm not particularly excited, you know, when I see another X-Men film. Even with, you know, First Class, sort of, to me, I felt like it sort of breathed new life, you know, by introducing these characters that we all know younger, and then doing the casting really well with Fassbender and McAvoy, even so. I'm still not like, oh my God, another X-Men movie. I never have been. Just, I haven't.
Yeah.
So that was kind of how I felt going into this. What about for you, Elise?
Yeah, I wasn't super excited. I think, more excited probably than like Avengers movies, just because X-Men, I remember the cartoon. I remember liking the cartoon when I was younger.
Okay.
But yeah, this one, the trailers didn't look that interesting. It looked like what we've seen before.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, well, we'll see. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. And so did comic book movie fatigue come into this at all for you? I mean, were you going into this feeling like, or what?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Because that's kind of where I want to start this review, because when I was thinking about like ratings, I couldn't help but compare it to other things that we've seen so far. And so I'm just going to say this right from the jump. That if we're talking about like where this falls for me, still think it was better than Batman v Superman. Okay. For me, I did. And other people may not feel the same way, but I still felt that it was better simply because I was not confused. People were not acting like they don't, you know, they didn't remake characters. I wasn't angry. Yeah. At characters that I previously thought I liked, and I could follow along, and I enjoyed the action sequences for me throughout. I was never tuned out and like, I don't care, and wanting main characters to die. That's not what happened. So for me, this makes it better. Okay. That being said, probably Civil War. And obviously Deadpool, but I'm leaving Deadpool out of this because that was introducing a singular character, a singular story, and I'm comparing it more to other films where there are a bunch of superheroes in it. So Civil War still inches this one out, you know, in terms of what I think has been done so far, if we're talking about comic book movies, and leaving Deadpool out because that didn't have to deal with trying to have multiple characters in it and still making you interested in multiple characters and that whole thing. I think that's a whole nother level of writing that has, you know, that has to be done.
Yeah.
So, so that's where this falls for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the film. Let's talk about, why don't we start with the new people that we've been introduced to in this film? Why don't we start there? How do you feel about writing, the acting of the new people? How do you feel about it?
So the new people, meaning Psylocke and Apocalypse. Because we've seen Nightcrawler, or do you mean like the younger versions of the?
Yeah, I'm talking about the younger people we've not seen yet. So even though we've seen Jean Grey, we haven't seen this Jean Grey. And even though we've seen Cyclops, is that his name?
Yeah.
His name's younger brother. We haven't seen him like this, you know. So like that. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, all right. I feel like this is going to be the whole review. Like, I liked it, but it wasn't. All of the younger iterations of the characters, I thought, were great.
They were
good. Okay. I liked Sansa Stark as... as Jean Grey. I liked Alexandra Shipp as the young Storm. I liked the way she looked.
Yeah.
I liked the young Cyclops. I liked the young Nightcrawler. But nobody was like, nobody made me like stand up or like made me want to like stand up and say, what? That's crazy. Or like made me laugh out loud the way that the young Spider-Man did in Captain America's Civil War.
Uh-huh.
So everybody was good, but nobody was like, nobody had a chance to shine.
Okay, I see.
It felt like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment because, again, like I said, when I started thinking about this film, I couldn't help but think about comparing it to what I've seen so far. And while I prefer this iteration of these characters that we've already seen over the iteration of Batman that we saw, they weren't as good as say, Spider-Man in Civil War or the Black Panther in Civil War. So, but they were good. I still enjoyed them. I was still clapping, and I couldn't help. And I don't know if this is just like my, and I didn't realize what a deep, deep need and desire I had for seeing heroes of the non-white persuasion. But that storm to me was maybe even tipping over into like maybe not great. But I almost felt like she was more than just good. Like, I was, like, clapping, and I loved the way she was doing the powers, like, her power face. And, like, I just thought she was fabulous. And I wanted to see more of her. And I really actually enjoyed Sansa. I was surprised. You know, we really got to get, that's not her name. Her name is Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner,
Sophie Turner. I actually enjoyed, I really enjoyed how they were hinting at her Dark Phoenix, you know?
Yeah.
Already this early. Yeah. I liked the way that they did that and the way that it played out. I really enjoyed that. Let me see. So that was great. What about the furthering of, or you thought there was no furthering of people that we've already seen? Now I'm talking about Fassbender, McAvoy. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like in this film, did their story or characters develop anymore in a way that you particularly liked? Or did you feel just like, okay.
No. I felt I mean,
okay.
I felt like X-Men First Class was Fassbender's story. I felt like it was,
yes,
they really set up Magneto. And then Days of Future Past was Professor X. Like, they really set up McAvoy's story.
Yep.
In this one, I was like, well, whose story is it? Who are we really learning about? Fassbender basically goes through the same thing. His family is killed. It's like, okay,
that's true.
He's sad and now he's evil again. Okay. That's what he does.
Yeah.
McAvoy, nothing really changed. He was optimistic. He remained optimistic. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In Days of Future Past, we saw a broken Xavier, broken Charles, and he had to they had to breathe new life into him.
Yeah.
I thought they didn't do anything with Mystique. I thought maybe this will be her, like, this will really figure out what's going on with her. I felt like they tried to, they kind of were trying to make her the hero of the mutants.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Storm really idolized her, but they didn't go far enough. So it didn't. None of the established characters. Oh, and Beast, nothing. He like did nothing.
Nothing. But you know what? He hasn't. He has been nothing in all of these films.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
He's just like a side person.
Yeah.
He's like another blue, another shade of blue character.
Yeah.
And you get your dark blue and Nightcrawler. You get your somewhere in between blue with Mystique, and Beast is like light blue.
Yeah.
That's the way I think of it. But yeah, you're right. I want to pause there on that point about Mystique because, it's interesting that you say that about her character because I actually rewatched Days of Future Past. It's on HBO now, and I watched it yesterday because I wanted to, because I was trying to remember, because there was lots of references to that film.
Yes.
And while I had a general remembrance of things, I for some reason I couldn't remember the details. I remember like a showdown at the White House, but I couldn't figure out like why was Mystique the hero. I couldn't remember for the life of me. So I went back to rewatch it, and I feel like that film was like, it was very clearly Professor X film.
Yeah.
But it was also kind of Mystique's film because the whole thing was they had to get Mystique away from Tyrion. Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage. Yeah.
Peter Dinklage would have gotten her. It would have, you know, he would have gotten her genes, and it would have taken his whole Sentinel program forward and destroyed all the mutants. She was like a really, like a sort of like a centerpiece that everybody was sort of gravitating around. And then at the end, she gets to be the hero. And then in this film, we really see the repercussions of that, where all of these, she's been really like idolized. And I think I remember at the end of the film, I turned to you and I said, this is all great, but when the hell does she become the Mystique that, you know, Rebecca Romijn?
Yeah, yeah.
Where'd that happen? This is all fabulous, yeah. But we all know where she's going. She's going with Magneto. She's like, to hell with anything else. It's Magneto time.
Right.
So when's that happening? You know, you just did the trilogy, like you said. Magneto time. You know, and like you said, you've done three films now. Are they planning to do a fourth to develop that? I don't know. So, and then you also said something else really interesting about Fassbender. Like, his family died. And, you know, the first one, the first class, and now they're dead again. And he's sad and angry. It's funny that you said that, because it's true. He like, totally, like, went right back to that. But even though he did, I still enjoyed watching him. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's attractive. I just enjoyed him. And I liked him in the jeans and the logger shirt. It has nothing to do with that. I'm strictly talking about his performance. But you're right. Like, it didn't really go any further. Okay. What about Apocalypse? What about this, the big bad? Because, I mean, he was really the driving force. I mean, the title of the film, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did you feel about him as a criminal, as the villain?
He was all right. Mm-hmm. He was all right. I mean, I love me some Oscar Isaac, okay?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like, all right, okay, he can, like, manipulate, like, matter so he can dissolve things and he can dissolve people into things.
Right.
But then he's also a little telepathic. And he can take people's powers. It seemed like that was the first thing. I wasn't quite sure what his main power was.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was kind of like, I don't know. I feel like even for bad guys have to be a little bit more than just one note. It was very one note.
Okay.
Was, you know, like this slow, you know, ominous speaking tone and then dissolving people. That was basically the whole performance. And I felt like, yeah, I just felt like even the bad guys, you got to give us something. Give us a little dark humor, you know, at what point, give us something.
Okay.
Give us, yeah. So it was, he was all right.
Yeah.
But again, it wasn't anything that we haven't seen before.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It was very, very one note. I will say the most interesting part for me about that character was in the very beginning. This is what I was going to say, when we talk about things that we liked about the film versus things we don't like. One of the things I really like is actually the very beginning, the setup in Egypt. I love that whole sequence. First of all, you know, just the look of it and the setting. You know, I always prefer that when it's done right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, those mutants, because he always has the four, and those are those original four in Egypt. I wanted to see more about them. They were scaring the hell out of me. I was not prepared. When they were killing, the way they were killing those people, I was like, yeah. Oh, like I wasn't expecting to be like horrified in like a comic book film. You know, it's supposed to be fun and popcorn. Oh my God. And they're like crushing people's skulls are exploding. There's blood splattering. I was like, damn. Okay. It was really well done. The look of it was like gorgeous. It was frightening. I want to see more of those people. Like, who are they?
Yeah.
Can we like the next film, like let's talk more about Apocalypse, like whatever happened, like right before then, those four people, his four people in Egypt, who were they? Because they scared the hell out of me. They were really good. That whole setup and the thing, that was fabulous. That was a fantastic opening, I thought.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about, this is going to open the door to this. So what about this that really stood out for you in the film? What do you think, like, worked really well? Like, more than just okay.
I really liked, like you said, the four horsemen in the very beginning, those mutants, I thought looked really cool, and their powers looked really cool. I really like what's his name? Quicksilver. They kind of
Quicksilver. Yes.
Yeah, I just feel like that I forgot his name, but I feel like he kind of like steals whatever scene he's in. Evan Peters, that's his name. He kind of I liked him again. They kind of just they took what worked in Days of Future Past and just it did more of that, which was okay.
Yes.
And then who else did I really like? He was really the highlight actually for me.
I guess I would have to agree with that. Yeah, because I'm trying to think, was there anything else that like really stood out that I really, really liked? Aside from the opening, Quicksilver, really, really like Storm. I really want to see more. I could see a standalone film with her. That's
absolutely.
What I would,
yeah.
I, that's what I would like. Okay. So we got 7 minutes. What were the things that you thought like really didn't work that you really wanted like to see like redone that you just didn't like?
The whole Wolverine scene was doo doo. Okay. It was doo doo.
It was doo doo.
Yes. And
what made it doo doo?
First of all, I didn't like that little contraption on his head. He looked comical. Okay, he looked ridiculous. And then his whole fight scene was supposed to be super badass, and it wasn't. It wasn't filmed interesting. He wasn't doing anything particularly new or exciting. It was not good, and there was really no reason to have him in it. Like, why? And then, why doesn't Jean remember him if they met when she was a kid? Why don't they remember each other in the first X-Men?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question.
So I was just like, why is he here? He looks dumb. It doesn't add to the story at all. I was not happy with that. And Wolverine kicks ass. He's probably like one of the coolest X-Men. And they did not do him justice here. So
no, they didn't. That's a really good point.
Yeah. And then what else did I like? Archangel. I didn't like the whole sequence where Apocalypse gives him the metal wings.
I didn't like that at all.
It was way too like on the nose, and it came out, it's like he's literally heavy metal with the music underneath. I thought that was silly. I was like, give me a break.
I really didn't like that either. I didn't like that character. If I had to pick anybody that I would want them to redo, I would say take him out. Pick somebody else. I didn't like him at all. at all.
Yeah, I mean, his hair, he didn't look particularly great. So that whole scene, I thought, was lame. They should have done something like that. And then this is the point that you brought up, was like, why it felt like Storm didn't have any powers until she met Apocalypse. Everybody else got to show like their strength a little bit. All Storm got to do was like cause a breeze and some dust and steal some shit, and that was her power until Apocalypse finds her.
Yeah, no, I want somebody to clarify that for me. Like, I need to reach out to, I need to do some research and or talk to some friends who are like really heavy into comics, because I thought that she was kick-ass on her own. The way they filmed this made it seem like she didn't have no powers. Like,
right.
What's up with that? I didn't like that at all. I also didn't like, they did something else with her character that I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that because that's not true to what that character would do or could do. When they have the showdown battle and towards the end, and the, I don't remember how it happened, but a car is coming at her and she flinches. Oh, what kind of nonsense is this? Everybody knows that Storm could make some lightning and throw that thing or some tornado or something and make the car go away. She wouldn't flinch. She controls the elements. She's not some shape-shifting piece of doo-doo. She's, you know, come on, man. Why is she flinching? And then she's got to be saved by that, you know, Psylocke, who, listen, I didn't dislike her, but I didn't really understand why she would have been picked to be one of the foremen of the apocalypse. Like, why?
Oh, yeah.
What made her so super awesome? Like, I understood Magneto, certainly. I understood Storm, certainly. Didn't really understand Angel Man. And I really didn't understand Psylocke. So she's got a sword that lights up. Now, maybe in the comics, she's more badass than that. But in this film rendition, I was kind of wondering, like, what the hell is she here for? You know? I didn't understand that. Okay, we've got 2 minutes. Was there anything else stood out, whether bad or good, about the film?
I don't think so. I mean, okay, what was really cool was at the very end, like those couple of shots with James McAvoy with the bald head in the wheelchair. Those were like, those like made you want to stand up and shout. Like those couple of shots, the way they were blocked and lit. It was really good. It was like,
right.
It's official now.
Right. Now. And you know what? That you said that, I think, isn't he like really like the only character who he's come, you know, from where he used to be to what we know, right?
Yeah.
Isn't he the only one that's really done that? Everybody else still has stuff to cover.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was cool. Like, I was giggling and clapping. It was like, you know, that whole thing. But everybody else is, I don't know if they're really not quite there. I think Magneto was there since Days of Future Past, to be quite honest. He just keeps kind of bouncing back and forth. We have 60 seconds left. I'm going to, what should I do? 60 seconds. I will just say that we'll be back. When will we be back? Oh, June 12th for Warcraft. Is that the name of the film?
Yeah.
It's got Viking in it. That's all I care about. we'll be back for that. Elise, we're going to be out of time, but let's just rate this.
I'll give it three. Oh.
Go ahead.
I'll give it 3 stars. It was all right.
Yeah. I was like, this is why I have to modify my review, because I want to give it 3 stars because I actually enjoyed it. But I gave Civil War 3 stars, and now I feel like I have to go back and modify Civil War to like 3.5 stars because it was just Civil War is just a little bit better. But I enjoyed this. I enjoyed this film. So I don't want to give it anything less than 3. So there you go. So that being said, I guess the show is officially over. And we, like I said, will be back June 12th. And I'm not sure if we're going to be back at 1:30 a little bit later. At least I need to talk about it with you because there's something else I have going on that day. But it will be June 12th. I think most people listen to the show, listen in the playback, not live anyway. So, okay. So until then, just let people know where they can contact us, at least, if you would.
Oh, yeah. BlackGeekMovieTalk@gmail, all spelled out, or facebook.com/BlackGeekMovieTalk, or on Twitter at BLKGeekMovieTLK.
Okay. And that being said, thanks for listening, and I hope you guys will be back to listen to our review of Warcraft June 12th. Thanks. Till then, bye-bye.
Peace out.